true mu'mineen must have five traits. One of those traits is that the true believer rely on Allah alone. Surah 8, verse number 2. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And on their Lord do they rely. So true believers only rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I wanted to talk about today was the idea of relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when He closes doors. It's easy to rely on God when He's doing what we want, what we had hoped for. Those prayers are being answered. That's easy. The difficult part is when God closes a door. He doesn't do what we want. The dream that we are pursuing doesn't happen when we're facing those kind of difficulties. And the challenge, brothers and sisters, is what we've learned from the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt. We learned that one of the conditions for our faith is to submit to Allah, a thorough submitting. We don't even in our hearts want to feel unhappy with a decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who are like that. There are things that God has decided, and a person might choose to make that their fight. I'll give you some extreme examples to make sure the concept is clear, and then after that we'll move forward. Let's say, for instance, and this will help when people are trying to combat depression, when they're trying to deal with long-term issues, right? If we can understand how God works, any human being, and that can be us, if I decide to make something that Allah has decided my fight, I'm going to be in for a long battle. I'm going to be depressed constantly. Let's say somebody makes a decision in their mind. They say, if the sun rises tomorrow, I'm a very angry person. Their decision is not going to change the sun rising. God has already ordered His things in the universe. Allah acts with wisdom. But me having that kind of anger, resentment, I'm upset with something that God did. That's the problem. So the hadith was this. It says that if there were a group of people who worshipped Allah without associating any partners with Him, they established a prayer, they paid zakat, they paid the poor rate, they made pilgrimage to the house, and they fasted the month of Ramadan, but then regarding something that Allah did, they said this. Or the Prophet, by the way. It might be something Allah did, or the Prophet. I mean, when anything the Prophet does is also with the instructions of Allah. Allah sana'a khilaf alladhi sana'. I wish He had done something different. أو وجدوا ذلك في قلوبهم, or they find this thought in their hearts, كانوا بذلك لكانوا بذلك مشركين. For this reason, to this extent, these people would be mushrikeen. So what happens is sometimes it's only in the heart, that anger towards God. I'll give you examples, real examples. Sometimes somebody thought, right now I don't want to get pregnant. An unwanted pregnancy. A couple, they're trying not to get pregnant. Right now, we have other goals. Can I get angry about? Allah did that now. I have a sickness. I'm trying to get rid of it. It's not happening. A relative, I'm trying to get them on the right. There's a lot of ways, scenarios this way that can play out where it's something that's beyond my control. God's doing it. And the frustration, sometimes it stays with nastajiru billah, that actually the person outwardly, openly say, I have a problem with something God did. But sometimes that resentment, they might say, I'm angry about this little child. The reality is Allah brought that person into. So the same way how ridiculous it would be for somebody to be angry about the sun coming up in the morning, the same thing with this. What the Imam told us, he says, alaykum bitaslim. Your duty is to submit. Not only do we want to submit, we want to have our heart in the right place. We want to feel about these things that God's doing the way that God has told us to. So what happens is, when we look in the ahadith of Ahlul Bayt to try and find now cures, ways of getting better, one of the problems that's there, we learn from the hadith, is not knowing God. Not having proper ma'rifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads us to question His decisions. God, why is it this is happening? How come so long? I've done everything. Right? That comes from not knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith is from Imam Al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. You'll notice this part about knowing God. He says, يَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ عَقِلَ عَنِ اللَّهِ. It is right, or it is appropriate for the person who knows Allah. Right? ينبغي لمن عقل عن الله one أن لا يستبطه في رزقه. He not consider Allah slow or late in providing for him. I'm going through financial difficulties. It's not happening right now. Someone in the bottom of their mind, they might think, Allah is, why is it taking so long? Or he says, وَلَا يَتَّهِمَهُ فِي قَضَائِهِ, or to accuse Allah, to be suspicious of Allah in his decree. So the believer, the true believer, the person who submits only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person is supposed to know that if I'm struggling financially, God hasn't forgotten me. The situation that I'm in right now, and again, brothers and sisters, we talked about maybe the first or second night, the idea that tawakkul means I do everything that's in my responsibility. I do my part. I expect good. We talked about that yesterday. So I'm trying, I'm pushing, but right now, the situation that I'm currently in is actually good for me. Allah's testing me. This situation is actually good for me. The other one is that Allah hasn't been unfair to me. We're accusing God. Why this? Why that? We don't want to be, some people, in the bottom of their hearts, their perception of God, that hasn't been fixed to think that I'm serving a good God. It's kind of like that restaurant owner that I heard about. I remember hearing a story once. They said once there was a bandit named Jose Rivera, and he stole from a bank in Tucson. So the sheriff, when he started chasing after this bank robber, and he chased after him until he hunted him down and he found him in Mexico. Went in Mexico and he started going town to town trying to find this individual, and he found him in a restaurant. He came to the restaurant and he told the restaurant owner, he said, have you heard of Jose Rivera? He said, yeah, he's over there, he's sitting down, he's eating at the table. He said, but Jose Rivera doesn't speak English. He said, you speak English, come with me. He came over to him, he said, tell Jose Rivera, are you Jose Rivera? He asked him, he says, yeah, I'm Jose Rivera, what's it to you? And the sheriff took out his gun and he put it to the head of the bank robber. He said that you tell him, if he doesn't tell me right now where he buried that money from the bank, I'm going to blow his brains out. So then the guy got really animated. He said that, go outside, you'll see a large tree. Between that tree, there's a well. Go 10 paces, dig right down, you'll find a box, the money's in it. So then he turned back, he said, what did he say? He said that he wants to die like a man. So God's not like that. God doesn't, he's not selfish. He doesn't have anything. Someone who knows God shouldn't do ittiham of God. Think that God would hold something back that's good for me. Right? Allah cares about me. I want to give you a story of Ahlul Bayt for us to get a story of how merciful Ahlul Bayt are. And then you and I, we can't compare Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Ahlul Bayt. So what happens is, remember I said the first thing was that Allah hasn't forgotten. Allah knows what's happening. Allah gives me what's good for me. So what happens is, our eighth imam, an individual named Riyan. Riyan went to go over and visit the imam. He said, you know, when I'm going to visit the imam, I need two things from him. I'm going to remember to ask him for his shirt, one of the shirts that he had wore, something that, the clothing that was on the body of the imam. I'm going to take that and I'm going to use that and put that as a kafan for myself, for instance. He said, in addition to that, I want some silver from the imam. I'll get a few pieces of money from the imam, and I'm going to make that into rings for my daughters. He says, I went to see the imam. I was explaining, talking. He said, but then when I was getting ready to leave, I was so overwhelmed with emotion. I'm talking to my imam. Now I'm going to go, and I'm going to be far away from my imam. He said, I started crying. I forgot all about my request, and I left. He said, the imam called me back. He said, Riyan, you didn't want to ask me for a shirt to make for your use for your coffin? He said, you don't want a few pieces of silver for me that you can make rings for your daughters? Right? So the imam didn't forget. Riyan forgot. He was overwhelmed. But Allah, right? The imam didn't forget. So that's the imam, let alone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So now what we're going to do is we're going to retrain our minds, the first step. Is retraining our minds so that we think the way that the Ahlul Bayt have taught us to think. One of the things that they stress to us is that Allah never does anything for a believer except what's good for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Imam says the believer might go through difficulties, but after he mentions the possible scenarios that a person will go through, the difficulties or good things, then he mentions the rule, the principle. And he says this, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَفْعَلُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ إِلَّا مَا هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. God never does anything but what's good for the believer. He never does anything but what's good for the believer. So then, if I want to keep that in mind, then let me mention something that I feel is important, and we'll go back to step number two after that. So first we'll do step number three, then we'll go to step number two. So step number three would be to redefine success for ourselves. The believer wants to completely rely on Allah. I want to rely on Allah when Allah closes doors, when Allah doesn't do what I had hoped for, what I had expected. I want to have that state that I'm not doubting God. I'm not thinking God is slow to have given me what I desire. I'm not accusing God. I'm not suspicious of God. How can I help myself? Well, one of the things that I need to do is to redefine success for myself. How can I redefine success for myself? In order to redefine success, I have to make sure, practically speaking, it's very clear for me what my goal is. What is the goal of my life? What's the reason for my existence? This definition is going to change a lot of things. The Quran tells us that the reason for our existence is to worship Him. As it says in the Surah 51, verse number 56, it says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created the jinn and the men except that they worship me. That's the reason. So then, you and I, what we want to do is to make sure that every step that we're taking, every action that we're doing, the real purpose and the true reason for it is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for instance, I'll give you some examples. If the real purpose is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's the reason for my existence, then now, every action that I do should be for Allah. If I go to work to provide for my family, that should be for Allah. If I've gotten married, that should be for Allah. If I get angry at somebody, if I'm after correct someone, that should be for Allah. If I'm speaking, that should be for Allah. If I forgive, that should be for, everything should be for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way the verses say it in the Quran is very clear. Let's look at this verse, Surah 6, verse number 162. It says, قُلْ إِنَّ الصَّلَاتِ وَالنُّسُكِ وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Truly, my prayer and my other acts of worship, my dying and my living, my life and my death, all of these things are for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, if my true purpose in life is God, He's the reason that I'm here, the reason for all of my activities, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put me in a situation that I don't like. If the purpose for my life is God, though, I look to see what my responsibility is. I want to worship God. I want to worship Him in every situation. That was the reason I go to work, I job, everything is for God. Now in this particular situation, which I don't like, Allah closed the door. Am I doing my responsibility? This is a situation, let's say my child, the conversation that I had with my child, was not one where they used the reverence they're supposed to, that a child is supposed to address their parents with, right? In Islam, it said, don't even look at your parents with anger. Even if they are oppressors, you're not supposed to look at them with anger, let alone oof, complaining, right? But let's say that's the situation. My child, for whatever reason, they haven't done. But my Islamic responsibility wasn't to respond. My Islamic responsibility was to be patient in this scenario, to let things play out. I'm going to correct them later. Internally, now I'm checking myself. How do I feel internally? Do I feel happy or sad? That's how we redefine the success. If the measure is if I did my Islamic responsibility, then if I did that, no matter what the outside circumstances, then I have that feeling of victory. I said that I was successful. I did what my responsibility was. If it was a time, a husband and wife, This is one of the areas that the wife has to obey the husband, actually. It was against something she wanted to do. She wanted to do something different. But this was a time when, according to Islam, she has to obey her husband. Does she have that feeling of victory, success? She goes back to her principle. My life is for Allah. My life is for God. This is a time when God says, even if it's against what you want to do, you do that. That's success. This is a time for me to forgive. This is a time for me to go back to a relative that hasn't been nice to me. It's difficult. Sometimes the individual, the other side, is the one that is wronged. Right? Let's say, me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, but Islam has told me in this situation, you go over and you tie the ties of kinship. Don't wait. Don't get arrogant. This is how you bring the person back to the right path. You go over, you reestablish ties. Now, do I feel inside myself the sense, or do I say, well, victory is in doing what God says? If I can do that, brothers and sisters, redefine victory and success as doing my Islamic responsibilities, then I can experience that goodly life, the life that the Ahlul Bayt want us to have. It doesn't matter now. The outside circumstances don't matter. Actually, we can learn to thank God just as much for when He closes doors as when He opens them. If I really know that God's on my side, God's doing the right thing. Yes, it's a situation where alhamdulillah, I was able to do my Islamic responsibility and do what God wanted me to do. And that was all that was important to me. First of all, I feel successful. Also, we can learn that actually I can learn to like what God did. I'll be patient now. It's a little difficult, but I'll be patient now. Let's look at this other verse of Quran. So what we want to do, next step. So the first one was redefining that success and making sure that we live our lives, or we've defined our success as doing something that Allah wants us to do. The other one is the idea of actually remembering that verse that we have in the Quran where it says this. So this is Surah 4, verse number 19. فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. Maybe you dislike a thing, and Allah has placed much good in it. Maybe you dislike something, but Allah has placed much good in it. We'll go back to that other step that I said was step number two. Remember, we said that the believer knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, understands God, understand that God is on their side. God's not stingy. God always does what's good for the believer. If I know that that's the case, then there's another thing for me to keep in mind. Let me factor into mind or see life how God sees it. God sees the big picture of my life. I want to give an example from Quran, but let's say I can step back away from my current situation. I looked, first of all, I redefined success as in what was my responsibility in this situation. When I do that, then that's victory. The other one is learning to embrace some of these challenges, to look for some of the wisdom and make sure I'm doing my responsibility. This one means that I'll have to go back and I'll say that I'm going to step back actually, and now look and see things from God's point of view. God sees the big picture for my life. Perspective changes things. I remember hearing a story once. They said once there was this lady had a dog. The guy's telling the story. He says, my sister's dog got deaf and dumb, and after a while developed tumors. It was time to put it down. I told my son that we're going to have to put the dog down, and the son started crying. My boy started crying. And I said, don't worry, don't cry. Jazzy's going to heaven. Dog heaven. He said, really? Dog heaven? He said, yeah, dog heaven. He said, what's going to happen in dog heaven? He said, in dog heaven, she'll be healthy. She'll be able to chase squirrels. So he thought about it for a little while, and he said, wow, dog heaven sounds like squirrel hell. Perspective changes things. Let's say you and I, we could see things from God's point of view, because God sees the big picture for my life. God sees what's going on. God sees what's going on around the corner. I want to embrace these challenges. Even at the moment when I'm facing something that's difficult, remember, God sees. So now, the story that we have in the Quran is the one of Nabi Musa. Nabi Musa and Khidr. Allah showed us what happened behind the scenes. That Nabi Musa and Khidr, they were going, they're about to go on the boat. Poor people, they had the boat, they were operating the boat. Then after that, Khidr punctured the boat. Musa got so angry. Allahu Akbar, why? He said, right now, be patient. They went forward a little bit more. And then what happened? There was a young man. Khidr ended the young man's life. God sometimes takes people's lives away early. Khidr ended the young man's life. Musa, you killed an innocent man. How did, young man? He said, Musa, wait. They kept going a little further. They went to a town and the people weren't hospitable to them. They weren't kind to them. They didn't offer them anything. And then in that town, there was a wall that was about to collapse, and Khidr went over and he straightened the wall out. Musa had it. He was like, that is it. He said, you could have at least asked for some food. He said, Musa, this is it. Now we're going to separate, but I'm going to tell you what happened, God's perspective. He said, remember that boat? He said, those poor individuals who were working on that boat, he said, I ended up puncturing the boat, but there was a king who was coming down that river. He was going to take away everybody's boat by force. I gave them a temporary setback. That boat, for them, that day they were upset. When the king came by, the boat's ruined, he goes by, they'll fix the boat. He said, that young man, if he had grown up and become baligh and done, this guy was actually going to lead his parents astray. Maybe now the parents are grieving, so upset. Allah granted them another child. He said, what about the last one? You helped bad people. They did bad things. They weren't hospitable. You fixed. He says that those individuals, there was actually a mu'min. There were two good people, two kids, yatims. They were living in that city. And these individuals, if I wanted them to be able to grow up so they could get that treasure that was buried there. So sometimes, if we see the big picture, God knows what he's doing. If the believer can sit back and say, look, there's a reason for what God's making me experience. I want to go over and learn that. In the meantime, my job is to trust him, to try and figure it out, to do the way that he said. So please send a salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Now, some of the thing that we have now are from our scholars. Some steps that they help or that they've done, things that they've done, which help us be able to trust God in those difficult times. The first one is from the leader. He says this. He says that there's sometimes when I'm going through very difficult times, right? The revolution, there's so many difficulties, challenges, things that are happening. He says that what I do is I refer to my notes. There's things that I had written down, things that happened to us during the time of Imam Khomeini. Miracles, things that God did. Times God brought us through. He says, I look at those notes. I remember those times that God got us through certain difficulties. And then that's how I derive my strength and my energy. Right? So for you and I, we can take this as a lesson. How many times is it that Allah has helped us? Allah brought us through situations that were even impossible. Situations where things were about to crumble. And then we saw, you and I, for ourselves, this was my miracle. For me, this was... I know the Ahlul Bayt intervened. I did my tawassul. The Ahlul Bayt came to my assistance. Right? What about jotting down those notes? And remembering them for later. I'm not giving myself credit that I'm so special. No, this is the greatness of Ahlul Bayt. This is what they did for me. Right? I'm not giving myself credit. God, I'm giving him credit for these things. So the verse of Quran is, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. When it comes to the blessings of your Lord, proclaim them. The Urafa say something similar. If somebody, this is again from some of the Urafa, they say if you're going through difficulty with your financial situation, sometimes it happens, sometimes, especially for us as fathers, for some of the brothers, I know they feel me. Sometimes for us as fathers, we're trying to provide for our families, trying to make sure they have the basics, and sometimes it gets close. Maybe even we might not tell our family what we're going through. We might keep it within ourselves, but we're going through this difficulty. And you and I, we don't want our hearts to shake at this moment. Ala rabbihim yatawakkalun. We're supposed to only be relying on God. What are we supposed to do? They give us a three-step process. One of them, they tell us, is what we call tafakkur, thinking. I use my proper thinking process. So what happens is, how many times has Allah brought me through similar situations? You and I, when we go back over the course of our lives, we know there were times where there were difficulty. Things got really close, right? But tafakkur, I'm going to think and use this process to go over those times when Allah made it difficult and then Allah brought me through. So that's one. Number two would be tashakkur, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? God tells us in the Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, I'll give you more.
لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَزِيدَنَّكُمْ
Right? So me remembering those blessings of Allah, now I'm, those different times when Allah brought me through those difficulties, then after that, then that also, that stage of tawakkul, that third stage. Now I'm going to rely on God. God who's always brought me through it, who's given me those times in the past, gratitude towards Him, and then going forward. So now I'd like to end with a little story that can help us maybe put these points together. Those of you who remember the story of the cow of Bani Israel, famous story, it's in the Quran. There's a lesson in it for us. The story goes like this. There was a man who killed someone. Then, instead of him taking accepting responsibility for this, he went to the house of another individual and he blamed those people. He said, it's their fault. They're the ones who killed this. Either I need, because he killed his own relative. He said, either we need qisas or I need blood money. The people went to Musa, alayhi salam. When they went to Musa, they asked him, they told him about the situation, and Musa said, Allah says, sacrifice a cow. The people didn't listen to Musa. The words they used were very disrespectful. I'll use English words for it. Are you kidding me? We're telling you about this situation. He says, they said, what kind of cow? The first one, the answer was just go and sacrifice a cow. What kind of cow? He said, go and get a cow that's not old, not young, in between. Go get it. Sacrifice it. They said, no, who knows what kind? There's so many cows. That's not clear for us. He said, oh. Allah says a yellow cow, a cow that pleases the eye. Looker, when you look at the cow, they said, still not. He said, it's a cow that doesn't even have one blemish on it. They went and they searched and they found that cow. Now, a little bit of the story, though. What happened? We're told the story. There was a young man, and this young man was very good to his father. He was dutiful to his father, this young man. And what happened was he had an opportunity for a very profitable transaction. There was a business transaction, he could do it, but it seems in order for him to make this transaction happen, he'd have to disturb his father. At this moment, let's say he had to get his father up, he had to do something. At this moment, he decided to trust in God. Instead of going over and doing something which he felt he was uncomfortable with, he said, it's a profitable transaction. He trusted in God. And his father, he woke up, he said, you should have woke me up. It wasn't a big deal. He said, no, you know, Father, I don't. He said, you know what? I'm so impressed with you. He said, please take this cow. The cow that they went and ended up looking for was that one. The transaction that he made then, when they finally, because Allah's punishing them now, the transaction they made was, he said, fill the skin of this cow with gold for me. Right? So Allah made it up for him. He trusted in Allah. It was a difficulty that he faced at that time, but then Allah made it up for him. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those people who have that complete trust in Him and who do what's right even under difficult circumstances. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.